Okay, folks, if we take our seats, we can get started. A lot to get through. Okay, everyone, any apologies? I do apologies from Councillor Devlin and Councillor Sharvin.
Councillor Casey. And then Bailey.
Casey. Bailey, yeah. You've already said that, yeah.
You might hit the thing, I think. See you.
Okay.
Councillor McGrew. You have Councillor.
Yes, we have already had that. Sir,
go. Sharvin, like that.
Yeah, I'm kind of white. Okay. Yeah. Okay, folks, this time the last meeting that we had our colleague and friend Naomi with us, and then subsequently Naomi took ill. Pleased to say, while she's went through several surgeries, Naomi has, I had been messaging so Naomi and her family, and just there on Saturday, Naomi was texting me back and forth, so over the weekend, so she texted me just a wee while ago, so I think she's a long road ahead of her, but just keep her in your prayers at the minute. She's still in hospital, still recovering, and she has a good bit to go, but we have to be thankful that she's still with us at this time. So just keep the positive thoughts for her going. So thank you. Okay. Declarations of interest? Yes?
I'm sorry, the motion on the closure of the outdoor centres, I'm employed by the outdoor centres, so I just need to...
Yes, and your colleague, your Lions colleague, is no longer proposing the motion?
Yep.
Okay. So. Anyone else for declarations of interest? No? Okay. Item 3, minutes of the council meeting held on the 5th of December. Okay. Just go through the hypocrisy. The minutes? I haven't went through them yet. Okay. So. Page 1, page 2, page 3. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and the action sheet, 14, 15, and 16. So proposed, who?
Councillor
Gary. And Councillor Highland, seconded. Any matters arising? Okay. Item 4. Anyone, any issues on the action sheet? Okay. Item 4. Mark, yes?
Yeah, it's just there's one item there with regard to Drummond IS community, since the Dunrace Hall, just it says it's actions, if you maybe change that to ongoing.
Okay. Thank you. Item 5, minutes of the ERT and Tourism Committee meeting. Item 4, sorry. Minutes of the special council meeting held on the 28th. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Proposed. And Glenn.
Second.
Any matters arising?
Chair, I had recorded apologies for that meeting, but didn't seem to be listed. So.
Okay. Add that to Chairman.
Okay. Item 5, minutes of the ERT, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, proposed, seconded, okay, Willie Clark, matters arising, Dermot?
Yeah, Madam Chairman, just accuracy of that meeting. In relation to down the middle of the page, you'll see Councillor Kern said that he would like to see more...
Dermot, would you bring the microphone over to you?
I thought it was loud enough there.
No, it's only Councillor Walker. We prefer that to...
Sorry.
He knows.
Right. Chair, then you can hear me okay, can you?
Yes, thank you.
Councillor Kern said that he would like to see more emphasis made on how to go forward with the strategy. And it ends there. But that was not all that I said that particular day. I went on to say that I fully support the new tour strategy in principle, but with reference to St. Patrick, and then requires some tweaking to places to emphasise the importance of St. Patrick to the area and the potential to build on. And would like to meet with the consultants who drew up the report and have an opportunity to discuss these issues to St. Patrick's and Patrick and the role of St. Patrick's Centre, and an important that they play an important part to bring tourists to the area. At that particular point in time, I requested a meeting with the consultants. This was supported by the chair of the council, like that there, and I hate to say here, but I thought it was supported by the director too as well. But that's not referenced in the minutes at all, and I would like that included into the minutes so we can go forward and have that concern.
Marie, do you want to take that?
Yeah, Chair, that's I'm okay with that. The council's okay with that minute, yeah.
Okay. Robert? Okay. And Glenn Hannah, you're looking... Jeremy, do you want to turn off your light?
Sorry.
Yes. Yes, Glenn?
Chair, just on the tour strategy there. At the meeting, I did say that I do support the strategy and that there's a lot of work been done on it. I do share Dermot's concerns, but the other thing I would like to highlight, and I've raised this on a number of occasions now, the tourist strategy is pretty much targeting areas, and I know we have to target areas. The two, pretty much what I would call the unionist areas, the Mourns and round Ballinahinson out there, they haven't been really targeted at all. That is my view. The other thing, and I did raise this, that I did in some of the workshops, but it's been completely ignored, that there's not many organisations can bring in about 60,000 people into an area at one time. The Loyal Orders, to be quite honest with you, they are a tourist attraction in their own right. And to be quite honest with you, they should get more prominence in their strategy, in that if we're going to draw tourists into the area, we do need to use all the assets we have. What's wrong with you could do then? We do need to use all. And the other thing that hasn't been highlighted at all is the Ulster Scots heritage. It should be actually incorporated in some form as well. I know Marie said at the ERT committee there that they will be supporting the Mourns and Ballinahinch through food and that type of thing, but I do honestly think the tourist strategy has pretty much ignored those two particular areas. So that is my thoughts on it. Although the same thing, I'm probably contradicting myself, the tourist strategy is a good strategy, so it is, and it probably will produce an economic return in the area. Thanks.
Sure, the strategy is, I suppose, it's a high-level document that recognises cultural and heritage development and refers to the need for a storybook of the district, which will extract and bring out all of that kind of detail that has been mentioned there. In relation to the Mourns is actually one of the key strands within the strategy. It may not have referred specifically to specific towns, but it is the Mourns is seen very much as being very, very key to the strategy, and it's mentioned throughout the document. So we'll be looking to develop experience development plans around particularly the Mourns area.
Declan?
Yes, sure. I was unfortunately unable to be there on that particular Monday night, as I think one of my colleagues as well. And again, welcoming it. But there were concerns, I think I did say to Maria, and a few other people in the community have them as well when they read it, that maybe there were some particular issues that they felt strongly about, particular issues, you know, in terms of developing the strategy and what vehicle it was being done through and by and how, that maybe wasn't reflected. And I know, Marie, you did say, yes, that, you know, these issues will be, you know, brought forward. But one of the ones I had was the development of Carlingford Lock on a joint basis by our two councils, our adjoining councils that we have a memorandum on it, with Louth County Council. And I know as joint chair of that particular working group, the council working group, that it's something that we would have liked to see being done and carried out. And I would like to have seen more prominence in that. I know it was alluded to, but I don't think that's strong enough. So we would just like the assurances that, you know, those issues that have been, you know, they've been talked about publicly and privately, that they would be brought forward, because we see them as councillors as very, very important and an integral part of the through development of tourism strategy. You know, you can create, you know, all the greatest strategies in this world, but actually it's down to your action plan and how that's developed out over the life of a council. So it's just to take note of that and maybe hear comments on what I'm talking about, Carlingford Lock.
Chair, as the councillor has referred himself, the strategy is it's a high-level document and it's in the action plan that the detail will sit. We did present a document attached with the strategy that set out a number of action plans, and we're due back to the committee again with more detail on that, and that will set out through the experience development plans things in relation to Carlingford Lough, Mourne's areas, and set more detail around it. The strategy is a period of 5 years, so we're not going to be able to deliver it all within this financial year, so we need to just work our way through it, and that action plan, we review the business plan for the ART Directorate and bring that back to the committee that will incorporate that, and members will have an opportunity to consider that. But what this does is tie together what is our tourism offering for the area, and which is considered commercially viable and will actually generate business and tourism business to the area.
Yeah, Madam Chair, just to concur with the views expressed by Councillor Hannah, and whenever this council was set up initially, it reneged on the commitments of the previous legacy council and obliterated the Ulster Scots Committee that was very active in the old council and helped enormously towards the promotion of Ulster Scots development within the old legacy Newry and Moran Council. Now, we were told at that time that cultural tourism and that type of thing would be recognised across the board. Now, clearly, under this tourism strategy that will set the template for the next 5 to 10 years has completely ignored that aspect of culture that exists. You don't have to like it, you don't have to support it, but it should be acknowledged. You know, we're hearing a lot of talk today about equality and recognition of either side and all that type of thing. But when it comes to our own council, we're just putting the back burner and forgot about and kept in the dark. So I think there has to be some recognition. And all the reports on Ulster Scots development and the Ulster Scots strategy that were developed by the legacy Newry and Moran Council, surely they should still carry some weight and some legitimacy with this council. And I would certainly support Councillor Hannah that we should acknowledge in some way. It's okay to say that, you know, the Mourns are included, but if you effectively ignore places like Kilkeelan all along, they are the hearts of the Kingdom of Mourne, where people like that or not. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair, again, what I would say is the strategy recognises that it's the rich tapestry of culture and heritage across our district that is going to be the headlines for tourism in the area. And nowhere has been ignored. It's a high-level document, and we'll be working actively, particularly with industry, to engage with them across the next 5 years to develop it and bring it to a level that is suitable for the international tourists. So it's very much about working with the industry, taking our culture and heritage and actually bringing that to life and animating it across the entire district in the next number of years.
Billy?
Thank you very much. Chair, I would also like to concur with my two fellow councillors here in relation to culture tourism. Perfect example, this incoming year, Ballinhinch, which is in the Rowallan area, will bring in excess of 200,000 people with three cultural events, namely Easter Monday, the 12th of July, and the last Saturday in August, three major demonstrations. Now, as one of the councillors alluded to, you know, you mightn't want to support it, and you mightn't want to go to it, but I believe it should be in the strategy. And in looking through it as well, I don't see much there in relation to Ballinahinch, to Saintfield, and to Killaloe. You know, tourism works in different ways. For example, Killaloe, we have a number of very famous people. When you take Hans Sloane and the chocolate, you know, you take the poem of the Irish immigrant, Mary Steele. Council actually maintains that style, so they're doing that. You'd be surprised the number of visitors that come there to do the trails and the walks around Killaloe. And you have the likes of the Battle of Ballinahinch and that. That should all be within a tourism strategy, because if you're bringing people in to see where that happened and do walks and that, The winners are the business people within that town. So it is. So I think a lot of that, and I would like to know, can we add to this strategy? For example, you know, some of these things that you know, maybe not mean much to people, but in and around Killay, if you're getting maybe a dozen busloads a year in relation to Mary Steyle or whatever, you know.
Maybe you could respect the fact that when a speaker speaks, the rest of you could respect
that, them. That means a lot to the businesses in that area.
Sure. Excuse me. I would again reiterate this is a strategy. It's a high-level document. Part of what has been referred to there is that storybook that I raised a wee while back. Our intention and part of the action plan is to start to develop the storybook of our district, and we're just looking at a means of how to do that, and that will be working with the DEAs, it'll be working with the people in the areas, because what we've recognised through all of our consultation is that there's a huge number of stories like the chocolate, like the different stories from across the district that are going to be lost as people age and move on. So we'll be trying to capture that over particularly the next year, working through the DEAs. So that is very much about that storybook aspect.
Willie?
Thanks, Chair. And I agree with the Director, Marie. All the views that have been articulated, that can be, you know, incorporated in the storytelling. You know, the United Irishman, the story of Mourn, all that sort of stuff can be incorporated in that. But it's an overarching document, and it's a strategic document. I have to say, it's a very comprehensive tourism strategy, and I would like to pay tribute to everybody involved in it. I think, or I'm of the opinion, that it's brought about all the aspects of our tourism sector, particularly looking at working with businesses and what we need to do and show leadership and collaboration. You know, so it's a very comprehensive document. It's about bringing in overseas visitors, and while we also have to be mindful of the domestic market, but it is the overseas visitor that we need to be targeting because there's a greater spend with the overseas visitor, and this is what this document is trying to achieve. It's doing things differently. It says in the document, if we do keep doing the same things, that we'll get the same results. And they're saying quite clearly, we need to change how we market, but how we attract overseas visitors. And it says that, it gives a paragraph to that. It also says about leadership. And I have to say, there's been a bit of negative publicity in regards to the document. I find that disturbing, particularly coming from our MP, where we've had our document basically said that it was a disgrace. So I find that very offensive, particularly the amount of work that we've all put into the document. There's been numerous consultations. In fact, there was committee members saying there was too much consultation taking place, that people were bored of consultation in regards to the tourism strategy. I think the council, but also the consultants, have bent over backwards to consult with people. And I think that has to be put on the record. I'm not having a pop. I'm just saying half of this tourism document is paid by the Tourism NI. And I'm sure that they are across the brief and the detail of the document. And I'd say they're supportive of what the consultants have brought forward. So I think it's a very worthy document. As I say, it's a breath of fresh air, in my opinion, you know, to get such an overarching document, and with everybody's views right across the district, and the new approach about festivals, you know, building the storytelling, looking at the Mourns and Gullion, and we talk about Nahan in the document about the Mourns. One of the main themes is about Mourns and Gullion Mountain landscape, you know, and again about the storytelling in relation to that, but also the coast, the rich heritage of the coastline, the Kilkeel and Annalong and Newcastle Harbour and Ardglass and Killock and numerous others. That, you know, that rich tapestry, you know, can also be incorporated going forward. But the one that really stands out for me is the issue about activity tourism, you know, and setting ourselves up to be, you know, we could be the capital of activity tourism. You know, if we, all the recommendations, if we endorse the majority of these recommendations, then that's what we're looking at. We're looking at that big gateway opportunity in the Mourns. and Donard Forest, and opening that up with some sort of chairlift or whatever, along with, you know, zip wires, and, you know, just opening that up for activity tourism, a massive opportunity for us. So certainly not, we shouldn't be focusing on nationalists and unionist towns. That's the old way, folks. We need to move forward. That's a different mindset. If you're looking for overseas visitors, you need to get away from this nonsense about unionist towns and nationalist towns and republican towns. That is the old mindset. And you need to show leadership. It says in the document to show leadership. And you need to start showing that leadership.
Thank you, Willie.
Sure, that actually sits within the strategy, and we will examine that with the relevant directorate moving forward.
Okay. David?
Yep, thank you, Chair. Following on from the concerns that have been raised regarding the cultural aspect of the strategy and the story book that has been mentioned as well, I'd be keen to know, is there any plans to engage with agencies such as the Ulster Scots Agency or even Foil Order organisations to ensure that they are given an input into the strategy and that there is a full perspective of the makeup of the district?
Sure, what we'll do, as I said, the strategy refers to the creation of a storybook for the district. We will work through our Tourism Task and Finish Group and our committee and the DEAs to consider who are the relevant people to be talking to, and if that's considered the relevant people, then that's what we will do. We're very keen to also get out and talk to the individuals within the area as well and really capture those stories that matter and mean something that in 100 years' time we'll maybe have lost. So we really want to create that storybook and enable us to animate the area in totality.
Okay. So item 7, the minutes of the active and healthy community. Just jumping here, sorry. Oh, yes. Thanks, Councillor Taylor. You're not meant to help me here, mate. No? Right, okay. So, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and then just the appendix. Proposed? Seconded? Liz proposed it. Who seconded? Yep. Liz, you weren't at the meeting, so sorry. Apologies, you can't propose it. Okay. No, so did I. Proposed?
But I wasn't there, so I can't
propose. Proposed.
Looking to
proposed
speak.
And seconded. Matters
arising officer. Yep, Chair, thank you. It's relating to the item of the Regeneration Bill. As the Chief Executive will be aware, my party has submitted a motion relating to the decision taken by the Minister to not transfer powers to Council. And I'm also aware that Councillor Brown had submitted a similar motion. Now, the discussion that took place does really, you know, deal with the issues that we had raised regarding the concerns that we have. Now, there's one omission that I felt maybe would have been necessary. Now, leading on from events today, we don't know where we'll be in a couple of weeks' time. But I would ask that an addition has been made, that not only do we outline our concerns in writing to the Minister, but we also ask for the opportunity to meet with Department for Community Representatives to discuss the situation regarding the Regeneration Bill. But again, events that have overtaken us today, and we don't know where we'll be in a few weeks' time regarding devolved government, but certainly at this stage, I would ask that it be included that we request a meeting with Department for Community officials on the issue.
Patrick?
Yeah, as Davey said, we both had a motion in. Davey's in slightly before me, so we agreed that he would propose it now. I would second it, but obviously we've withdrawn that in the interest of efficiency. So just wanted to make the comment that in his document, when current Minister Given said that he was not going to devolve the planning powers, he said it is not time to tinker with who is responsible for what, or to concern ourselves with the splitting up of the regeneration budget. Rather, it is time for all the stakeholders to work together to maximise our joint effort and maximise positive change. So if Minister Given is so committed to working with his local government partners, I'm sure he'll not hesitate to meet with us to discuss our very real concerns on this issue.
There's no minister now.
Well, it hasn't dissolved yet.
Okay.
But yes, I am very aware that the current political situation may mean these meetings are slightly slightly delayed. Yeah.
Okay. So David and Patrick are looking to see that the minister or whoever that may be or whoever that may stay an official to have a meeting. Is everyone in agreement with that? Is anyone happy enough? Yeah? No objections. Mark?
It's only on attendance. I submitted an apology to that through MinutePad, but it hasn't been recorded.
Okay, and we'll amend it to make that? Yep. Okay. Item 7. Right. Yeah. AHC. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Propose, Liz, do you want to propose it? Liz is going to propose that. Seconded? Okay. Matters arising. We have Patrick.
Yes, we have, myself and Councillor Tennelly have a motion relating to, I'm not sure what number it is in the minutes there, on the outdoor education.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Yes, and the Council's response to the consultation, item 6. So just as with myself and Councillor Taylor's motion on regeneration powers, the proposers of this motion are satisfied that it be withdrawn and that an amendment added to the Council's consultation response. So I would like to make an amendment to the minutes that an invitation for an urgent meeting go to representatives of the education authority responsible for this review, as well as the invitation to the minister. We have seen how blasé ministers treat meeting invitations from our council in the past, but by inviting those directly responsible for this issue, I feel it would be much harder for them to turn down. So, again, hoping that there is a minister that will receive that invitation.
Okay. Taylor? Or Councillor Taylor?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, obviously this issue was well versed at the last AHC meeting, but it is an issue, Chair, of concern right across the district, because it adversely affects our council area, I suppose, more than anywhere else. And for that reason alone, I believe it is appropriate to give it a quick going over here again. I would know a wee bit more about Killone than the other ones, Chair, like just to let the fellow members know here. There's 21,000 people have used Killone in the past 5 years. Very often, Chair, these are young people from what would be perceived as disadvantaged areas. Their experiences at these centres are primarily new experiences that in many cases sets a seed for a lifelong affinity with the great outdoors and the health benefits that flow from this, both mental and physical. Their closure would be society's loss, and this is a prime example, Chair, of where the value of these centres far outweighs what it costs to run them. So I fully concur with Patrick's amendment that the decision makers in the ESA are the people who we should be aiming our fire at, and obviously, especially after what has happened today, there's more than likely not going to be a minister in place. So I would like to second the amendment, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Is everyone happy enough with that? That
no speakers, yeah.
I know. Is it on the same issue?
Chair, yes, on the same issue in relation to it. I don't know whether Council has already sent a letter off to the minister, or did we have to wait till after it was ratified tonight?
Yes.
But I made it clear in the past and I'll make it clear again. You know, I don't see the need for an amendment here because we're already asking for the meeting with the minister. And that.
Our amendment is for representatives of the education
part. And I'm actually myself, a follow on the meetings we had with staff at Delamont and the Killalea Sales Centre. I'm actually, unfortunately, Councillor Andrews can't go because he's a bereavement. I'm meeting with Education Authority tomorrow in relation to it, and I will be mentioning everyone within this district. It was initially set up to deal with Delamont Country Park because the employees come to myself and Councillor Andrews asking could we do anything. That was the follow on. So we're meeting tomorrow in Belfast or myself because, unfortunately, Councillor Andrews can't go, but I will be handing a letter over from Councillor Andrews to them, and I can tell you they'll be told in no uncertain terms. And it does annoy me, and I'll say it again, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Ministers, when they're asked to meet us, should have the courtesy to come down and meet us. whether it's a DUP minister, a Sinn Féin minister, they should come down. Because at the end of the day, the people out there elect us, and we're only doing a job for the people. People's losing their jobs here, so there is. In Killeley, there could be over 30 jobs lost in that. And I've seen, when me and Councillor Andrews met them, I've seen grown-ups that's been there for 25, 30 years cry. We've heard Councillor Brown in newspaper cuttings when he was in America, hearing the Americans crying because Donald Trump got in. I've seen people crying because they're losing their jobs in my area. So we are. So, effectively, the minister needs to meet us, irrespective of who it is. Looks like there's going to be an election called. We don't know who the minister will be, but they need to come and they need to change their attitude to this council. They need to change their attitude and come and meet with us, because there's people out there losing their jobs, whether it's Ardnabannon, whether it's Killeley or whatever, because one of the reasons I'm supporting these outdoor centres is they do a great service when it comes to cross-community work. So they do. They're bringing all sections of the community together. I've seen it when the Belfast Education Library Board owned Delamont. They were bringing them from Belfast. Young ones coming together and making friendships. That's what it's all about. We're in here preaching about people bringing young ones together and that. There. Let's move away from the past. Well, these outdoor education centres were catering for that. Helping young people move away from the past and bringing and forging friendships. What are they going to do? They're pulling the rug from underneath them, and it's not good enough. And they're talking about maybe saving £1.3 million. I believe that £1.3 million is money well spent. So it is. And the minister, whoever it is, needs to get his backside down here to meet with councillors.
David.
Thanks, Chair. I take on point a few things Billy's been saying there, but I agree with the sentiments of the amendment on the basis that it brings the Education Authority in on an equal keel to the Minister. We've seen too many times ministers, and all parties are guilty at one stage or another, ministers have not come down and met us. At least with the Education Authority, it's a two-pronged attack. I mean, from our point of view, yes, I think collectively the whole council as a corporate body is totally in favour of keeping these centres open. We see them as more than jobs. You know, the cross-community aspect is great. Possibly they'll have to change and evolve as well, how they do it, how they deliver their service and who they deliver the service to. And through community planning, hopefully we'll be able to help them through that. So we will be voting in support of the amendment tonight.
Yes, Chair, that was the same issue as well. And sort of repeating and went previously on to say that I would be a wee bit, you know, afraid of. The betting is there'll be no minister, whether there's an executive or not, will come and visit us on this. And the chances are that the staff will be very reluctant to come because they'll hide behind the veil of, oh, yes, we're having a review into it. And the all likelihood is that we won't get our say. And a lot of people in this room have very strong feelings on this. You know, when you look at this, it's really the butchering of youth provision in this whole area under the pretense that the Mourns is the provision of Mourns is highly concentrated. I mean, it's only highly concentrated because there is such a varied group of activities offered to most of the population who live adjacent to it. You know, and again, you know, in our own area, backing up in what Charles said in Killowen, it can't be emphasised enough the amount of good that has done. It has built strong community links between young people and society. It has built young people, you know, as they're growing up. They're going off there for weekends, and they're, you know, people building skill building levels. So absolutely fantastic facility that certainly nobody wants to hear of closing down our area. And so I'm just adding that to it, and I do think we need to come back to it based on what the response we get from this. You know, I think it should be again revisited by the relevant committee on council as well. So,
thank you. So is everyone in agreement that we write to the minister, but also the amendment that Patrick has put in for the Education Authority officers? Yep. Okay. Thank you. Item 8. Minutes of the Audit Committee meeting on the 8th of December, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. Matters arising? Okay. Item 9, to consider the amendment of the Council Standing Officers Orders, sorry, proposed amended copy attached. I just need a proposed and seconder for us.
Madam Chair.
Yes?
I think we should still take another look at this.
Can you speak into the microphone, sir?
I just think there's quite a lot of detail, and I would like to see, you know, the variations that have been made from the previous standing orders in comparison to this, you know, any salient points that have been changed, if possible.
They're in red.
Oh, right. I haven't got... I can certainly provide them to
Councillor O'Reilly, but again, they're very much regarding contractual issues.
Right.
Okay.
Michael? Yeah, Chair, I think there was one comment in it where it referred to, first of all, the passing of minutes. The passing of minutes is normally down to accuracy, which I completely agree with. The point following that, I'm sorry, I haven't got the right page up at the moment, was reference not being able to speak to things on the... does that need looked at again? Because we do it regular. In fact, certain things happen at committee that would be maybe even voted on, and on occasions have been re-voted in this council or by the time it gets to the council meeting. So it just seems a wee bit of a contradiction in terms.
Is that under 12.2?
No, it's in reference to minutes of meetings coming to council.
I think, Chairman, is that there's an agreement on accuracy, but then members can change their recommendation in terms of the recommendation. That's like we did today. We did amendments to recommendations.
Yeah.
So it's the minutes, the accuracy, the recommendations is to change the recommendations. But every member, the very fact that members aren't on the committee, can actually change that.
Did it not say something about not being able to take...
there's no discussion shall take place.
No discussion shall take place on things.
Until the accuracy is done, until everybody agrees that they're accurate, then you can take discussion after the accuracy has been agreed.
Okay. So we read it that you couldn't do it full stop.
Yeah.
I reread.
Yeah.
Councillor Carr, if it's any help, there's two parts to it. There are minutes of council meetings, and then there are minutes of committees. And in the minutes of council meetings, because you take the decision at the time the meeting is held, unless and the meeting decision takes place there and then, no discussion shall take place upon the minutes except upon their accuracy. But in relation to committee minutes, that is not stated in how you adopt your committee minutes, because the minutes of your committee meetings are actually only recommendations, which the council then discusses at the full council meeting. Is that a clarification for you at all? Yeah, there are two different headings. One is headed minutes of the council, and then the other one is headed minutes of committees. So it's standing order 12 and standing order 14, so two separate ones completely.
Mark?
Yeah, just on that same thing, it's saying there on the 14.2 about having to give 24 hours notice in writing to raise an issue on these minutes, but surely we don't do that.
No, we don't. These are drawn up by legal people. These minutes have come from where these are the council minutes that were agreed by the legislature, which were actually to be put in. These are statutory standing orders. They actually didn't get statutory standing orders because they were challenged on motion of concern. So in essence, they're saying this is the basis. But standing orders, like a number of things, set the rules out. But again, it's up to the chairman's interpretation. So if the chairman's willing to take it, then the 24 hours doesn't come into it.
Yeah, so if we got an awkward chair, we essentially can't. We'll be stifled. I know it hasn't happened, but why, it's just a concern if we don't use it, why should it be there? Just take it out.
Yeah, well,
Chair, if you want to take the 24 hours out, you can. But the part of the reason is that actually, if something comes up at the minute that people have noticed, somebody doesn't raise that. It's to ease decision making. So, if you know you want to raise something, to give 24 hours notice to it to the chairperson who's chairing the committee, would enable an answer at the meeting. That's the purpose for it. But I'm entirely in.
Sorry, maybe I've misunderstood this. This isn't when the committee meetings come to the full council. It's a concern that as a non-committee member, the only opportunity you get to ask a question on committee minutes is at a full council meeting. So, are you saying that if you want to raise an issue at a committee meeting as a member, you have to give 24 hours notice?
Well, it's qualified in the next. A reply to an issue at the meeting on any minute without written notice would be discretion of the chairperson of the committee, so it actually enables the chairperson. But the purpose of it is, so if you want to raise something tonight, say, I want clarification on this particular point, but then if you've got 24-hour notice, there's a chance of you getting it, but if you raise it on the night at that point in time, we can't, it's impossible to give the clarification.
Yes, so we'll raise it.
To enable decision-making, you know, but the chairman, and again, the chairpersons, the three chairpersons we've had, has enabled that to happen. But again, at the discretion of the chairperson. Gets back to the final minute, is the chairperson, it's the final say in interpretation of the standing orders.
Okay. Thank you.
Madam Chair, it was just a point regarding under contracts regarding liquidated damages, and it's just a comment, Chair, and it's really essentially, I mean, I've seen liquidated damages clauses all too often been really toothless, and where a contract overruns the time period, there has to be a meaningful clause there that can be workable, that council can claw back expense from the contractor or from the supplier, whoever he is. It needs to be not so complicated or not so woolly that there's nothing, you know. So I think it's up to ourselves or our consultants to make sure that the liquidated damages clauses are enforceable, so that we do have a chance to actually claw back when a contractor doesn't deliver and he overruns quite a bit over the period and is costing council money, that at least there's something meaningful that the legal people can apply it and we can get the money clawed back. Yeah.
So fair point. I'll check that up with our legal people.
Yeah. Okay. Next item.
Consultation
for the review of Northern Ireland Local Government Code of Conduct for councillors.
Chairman, I don't intend to make any comment on that there. Okay. I imagine the parties in the NAC and NILGA and that there will want to make comments on it. So, my view is that I think that's the best position to be left in if members are happy enough with that.
Yeah? Okay. Okay, and then to consider the Council's updated draft response to the consultation on the criteria for configuring the health and social care services.
Chairman, I'll take that. And again, thanks to Aisling Rannick, who did a major piece of work on this. I think this was raised at the last Council meeting, and she pulled together the two tasks and finished for one at Daisy Hill and one for the Down in respect to it, and gathered information in which she's put together a comprehensive response on behalf of the Council, which reflects the issues for both areas. Conscious, though, and feedback to Aisling to me is that the four have felt that maybe the individual items on each of the committees should be considered. So I'm asking Aisling to take her notes of the meetings to maybe have an aid memoir which can be included as an appendix to the consultation response. So basically, Chairman, recommendations to Council: approve the draft response on the consultation and agree to include a summary of the issues raised both the Down and the Daisy Hill Health Fora as part of the response.
Dougan.
Thank you, Chairperson. Well, just to correct Liam on a matter of fact first, they're not task and finish fora. That point was corrected at the last meeting that Colin McGrath was here, and Colin McGrath had the minutes corrected at that time, supported by myself, pointing out that we actually established health fora, not task and finish fora. But moving on to the point, the East Down councillors who met along with the Down Health Committee to discuss this particular consultation were very unanimously of the opinion that there should be a separate consultation for the Eastern Trust area from the Southern Trust area. And the reason why we felt this was that the situation with the health service in our two areas is quite different. Newry is a teaching hospital. It's still got a 24-hour A&E. And if the border was taken properly into account, indeed, Newry could be seen as the centre of delivery for services in the Southern Trust area, all other things being equal. Whereas we in East Down have long since lived with the domination of Belfast and indeed have had to fight for the restoration and rebuilding of our hospital on this site after it was closed by the people, the folk up in Belfast. So we are actually suffering all the things that Newry could potentially suffer from in the future, where they're saying they can't find staff for our A&E service, even though there's a budget for a 24-hour A&E service. They can't find a staff for it, so they closed our A&E service down. They've centralised services back to the Belfast area, whereas we've fought very hard over the last number of years to ensure that services for the region are based down here in the Downshire, and we've had a number of notable successes in this in recent years. So basically, we are the epitome of the hub-and-spoke architecture within the Compton report, whereas Newry still is a fully fledged and fully configured hospital, even though it may well be threatened by all the same things that we have already been through. We've been this, been there, and done that. Now, we were told that the chief executive had decided that since we wanted a separate report, and Newry was happy to have a single report on this subject, that he had decided to recommend that there should only be one report on this subject, despite the fact that the Southern Health area and the Southeastern Trust area, in regards to the way in which we interact with hospital services, are wholly and entirely different at every level. So it's certainly our group's belief that it would be very little work for the council to submit a response from the Southeastern Trust area that is different from the Southern Trust area, given the fact that our interests and our responses were so dramatically different in many of the areas where we, for instance, actually disagree with all the premise that the consultation was based upon. Whereas, say, for instance, in Newry, they were happy to accept one or two of them, given the fact that they were a fully configured hospital and were under no particular threat at this time. So it's our belief that that the councillors should request management to go back to the original plan of having two responses, one representing the Southeastern Trust councillors in this council and the other representing the Southern Trust councillors in this council.
Thank you. Declan?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. First of all, I want to concur with what Liam said just about Aisling Rennick, her bringing together really of the two sets of opinions, an interwoven set of opinions about healthcare in this area. And it actually was discussed at the Newry meeting about the two aspects because the two trusts involved. But we did strongly feel that certainly we as a group of councillors, this council is speaking as one single unit representing all the people here. And we felt that one unified voice in this was sufficient, certainly highlighting some of the areas. We can't lose sight of the fact that this wasn't a review of the whole health service and what our opinion of it was. It really is a consultation on the criteria. This is at the very first page on the criteria for reconfiguring health and social care services. And there were seven criteria, very loosely based. And I do think that with the two meetings and with Aisling's input into it, that certainly all the issues that we felt that were pertinent to those seven criteria were well enough heard and have been well documented going forward, especially, I suppose, the very last addendum that she has put on about where a lot of people were concerned about the rurality of the whole area and the emphasis that we want to put on the fact that it is a wide, scattered area where people have to have service delivered to. So, I mean, I would be totally of the view, and I think our party is as well, that one is sufficient and it has been reasonably well put together. And we're quite contented with it going forward. And I think Liam talked about putting some other
additional information in, certainly would be probably in agreement with that as well. But that's all I have to say on that. Thank you.
Okay. Henry?
Madam Chair, I have to actually give agreement to Councillor Enright's suggestion, because with Mourne's DEA, we are quite unique in that we straddle both trust areas. And I have certainly found that I am getting more and more calls from people in Newcastle, in that general area. And I do find the Eastern Trust have a different way of dealing with things. And I actually believe in many ways they're better and they're more efficient than what we get from the Southern Trust. So I think we'll have to take into consideration the uniqueness of the Mourns, and you know, health is just another aspect of it. But certainly I know that the amount of work that needs to be done in around Newcastle and that general area is quite incredible. And I know that they're glad to get good representation there. So, but I'll leave it to that, Chairman. Thank you.
Stevie?
Chair, just on the issue of whether to have one or two responses, I think it's silly to try and dilute the corporate nature of what we are. We are one council that straddles a large area, but we are one corporate body, and we should have one response that is encompassing of all the issues in both the two hospitals we have and outside of that, and everything that affects our area. So we don't think it's necessary in any shape or form to have two responses, because we feel that dilutes the actual issues that we're facing. And I just wanted to ask of the Chief Executive, Councillor Enright made reference to task and finish groups not being task and finish groups. Certainly it was our understanding that it was the council's setting up of these groups was as a task and finish. Has that been changed? And if it was changed, did it change through this council? Or because surely if we set a grouping up, it's only for us to change it.
Just for clarification, they were set up as task and finish groups. Colin McGrath had changed at that point in time to call them forums as opposed to groups, so they're task and finish forums. They meet in specific issues in regard to their particular area, so they can continue on, but once they only meet during the period that the issue's been raised, and that's why they were pulled together today with this consultation response.
Okay. John, hold on.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Chair, I just want to first of all commend all those that did work on the task and finish groups for articulating what we all feel about our two main hospitals in our area, the Down and the Daisy Hill. I mean, I appreciate you've done a good job in bringing those items to the fore, but I do have to say this, that we are one council, and to be credible looking, we have to act as one council and have one corporate response, and that's why I would say that that's the way we ought to go, Chair.
Yeah. Okay. John Taylor?
Chair, I'd just like to agree with what's been said by Gareth and Declan and Stephen. Certainly we're one council area, and this response needs to, and it is, I think, it needs to address the person in Analong, Clock, Rathrever, Cross McGlen, down Patrick Calais. You know, I think it does. It addresses the aspects of rurality in this district, of the dispersed population, of the poor infrastructure, of the poor ambulance cover. It addresses both the major hospitals here, but it also addresses, I think, a wider issue with health provision across the whole of the district. And rather than diluting the response into two, I think we have a very strong response in front of us, and having the appendix detailing out the issues for the different trust areas, I think, is the best way to go forward.
Glenn?
Chair, I was slightly different from Gareth, so I wouldn't miss. To be quite honest with you, the Mourns DEA is... The Mourns...
What did you say to that?
Chair, the Mourns DEA is fairly unique. It is unique in that between road service, the health, and a number of other issues, we are divided right down the middle, north of the mountains and south of the mountains. So, and saying that, a good strong report is what's needed. The one thing that I am slightly concerned about, whenever that meeting was held just before Christmas, there was only three councillors from this council attended, the one in Uri. Well, actually, those representatives that came from the community were actually very disappointed. There was two from SDLP and one from the DUP. I don't know where everybody else was. They must have been buying Christmas presents or something. I don't know what they were at. But just, we do need to support these groups if we're going to set them up. So that is my thought. Daisy Hill in particular, there, it is in danger of losing its... or getting downgraded at the very least if it's accident and emergency. The stroke unit, and that is in danger. And we have to remember, most of our council area is on the periphery of everything. And that's going to go from South Armagh right up through. So my thoughts, possibly one real good report will do, so it will, but we have to highlight all the differences, all the problems. Thanks, Chair.
David?
All right, thanks, Chair.
You give him that look. Okay, Davey.
Yeah, Chair. I had to visit Daisy Hill on Christmas morning. I had an unfortunate accident with a nail, a rusty nail. And,
hope it wasn't too bad.
No, it wasn't too bad. No. Wasn't too much blood. Henry's very sympathetic. But listen. We're struck with this problem that we have two major hospitals in one council area. And obviously the needs for those hospitals are competing sometimes and different. I have to say, my visit to Daisy Hill, I haven't been in for a while now, but the staff were excellent. They were dealing with a large number of people, and they dealt with it in a very, very professional way and fashion, and I would have complete faith in them. But just back to this issue here, I think the only way, I don't think we can send two reports back, to be honest, from one single council. I think we'd look a bit foolish doing that. But we can go along the lines that Liam mentioned, maybe with appendix, that Aisling Rennick can do a bit of work and look at the particular needs and wants of both Daisy Hill and Down, and surely have dialogue and intercourse with people about that whole issue. Thank you, Madam Chair.
So, I need now a proposal and seconder for recommendation of the report.
Second.
Closed and seconded
second,
over here.
Sorry.
Okay, everyone
all
in agreement?
Against? No, you need to put a vote. Need to put a vote. All in favour?
All in favour, raise your hand.
Against?
just raise against the report.
One. 29 for the report.
Could
one against.
Chair, could I ask some information, just on a point of information, in relation to the Chief Executive? Will we see the appendix before it goes back again? That's what I want to know. Will we see the
Yes, Chair, and we can send that out. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Next item, the PHA draft corporate plan with engagement workshop.
Again, I know that it's just details of the workshops, and I know that Owen is putting together a response on that, Chairman.
Okay. Item 13, conference planning reform in Northern Ireland, progress, economic development and forward strategy from Thursday the 23rd of March.
Again, Chairman, it's £210 for any member wanting to attend and £95 to get a copy of the briefing document.
Okay.
Chair, I propose we get a copy of the briefing document.
Seconder for that?
Seconder
for
that? Seconder.
Second.
Okay. 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 Sealing of documents then? Okay. The license agreement for Shimley Road Car Park, Newcastle?
It's Shimley Road Car Park, Newcastle, and a second is a burial certificate for Ballinahinch, Chairman.
Okay.
Poser and seconder for them.
Poser and seconder for them. Sean Doran, seconded. Thank you, Jill. Okay, item 15, notice of motion received from Councillor Enright. When you're ready, Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm introducing this motion in acknowledging our council has developed a good reputation for looking after minorities and supporting, say, for instance, the Hindu festival of Diwali or the Chinese New Year, indeed the Gaelgaur community. We're doing many good things in recognising diversity in this area. However, I've been one of a number of councillors who over the last year or so have been noting with concern what appears to be an unofficial policy growing in council at the non-use of the word Christmas. I've contacted the legal officer of the Equality Commission, and he's confirmed to me that there are no Section 75 issues with the use of Christmas, Happy Christmas, Christmas Party or Christmas Celebration. The Equality Commission is clear there's no requirement to have seasonal receptions or seasons greetings used as an alternative. Additionally, there is no Equality Commission fatwa on Santa Claus either. The Equality Commission advises me that if there was no official policy, then there could well be an unofficial policy in which so the Council would be required under law to bring forward a Section 75 report and have councillors approve it one way or the other. So I've subsequently been contacted by our own equality officer, Colin Moffat, and he's confirmed to me that no official policy exists. So this practice seems to have grown up organically of its own accord. He's written to the communications people to ask them, does our council communications department have an unofficial policy with regard to not using Christmas in their communications? And I've seen communications of both sorts, season's greetings and Christmas greetings, coming from our communications department. So basically, I'm inviting councillors to support me in supporting the law in saying that we can't have either an official or an unofficial policy on this practice without, first of all, council management coming before councillors to seek approval for such a policy one way or the other. Thank you.
Yes, Harry.
Okay, Chair, thank
you. Are you seconding this?
Pardon?
I take it you're seconding?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're very happy to support this motion of Councillor Enright and feel it's good that this has been noticed and action is being taken on it. Whether it's been put in place intentionally or just happened, it'd be interesting to know. Did some one person make a decision and try to dilute the Christmas story by not using the words we are all familiar with and know something of their meaning? So, yes, I think it's a motion well worth supporting and getting in place early for Christmas season of 2017 and thereafter. And I thank you, Councillor Enright, for setting it in place, and I'm happy to second it.
Henry.
Yes, Madam Chair, I would also support it. I have raised this issue with a number of agencies and bodies that sent me invites, and they were saying season's greetings and this type of thing. And I did point out that it is actually marking the birth of Jesus Christ, who brought Christianity and salvation to planet Earth. And it is very unfortunate that, you know, we can't even uphold Christian values here and acknowledge that at a time whenever there are people in Egypt and Christians elsewhere in the world getting beheaded rather than deny their faith. So we shouldn't do anything here to demean it. In our own council. Gora me aga kahile.
It's easy saying he thinks it's an election. Hey, you should say back, Gora
Milia Mayor. Mm-hmm. Hello.
I think
I'm the only Irish one in this.
You wouldn't have thought that today.
Okay. Councillor Carr, what would be your opinion?
The Councillor really has come on a long way since 1 o'clock today. But Chair, Wedge having no problem with the sentiments of the motions and keeping Christ in Christmas and certainly looking after Santa Claus's interest, I do wonder and have to question, why is this coming before our council as a notice of motion? That we couldn't, through one of the committees, say to the people involved, whoever put up a message including Chris Kringle or whatever, why is this happening, or have a debate about it, or have a look at what sort of message is going out for Christmas. We're really here to overturn a policy that doesn't exist. So, you have to question why it's coming in this fashion. No problems with it. Keeping Christmas as we all have grown up with, but certainly begs the question why it's coming here as a notice of motion to this council. I have to say, it could have been handled much differently.
Thank you.
Yes, Mayor. Chairman, just have to say that it has to be the most ridiculous motion in the 16 years in council that I've ever seen.
Do you want to use your microphone so we can all hear that?
It is the most ridiculous motion that I've ever seen brought before council in my 16 years at it, both Newry and Mourne and Newry Mourne and Down. I have to say, Chairman, we don't have to give people out there reasons to laugh at us, but I think this motion coming before tonight is a reason that people will take to laugh at us. It's absolutely ridiculous with everything else that's going on.
Good Jochen, would you like to sum up?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I do believe under law, now we've identified that this issue exists, we have to bring forward a report to Council anyway. But it would be nice to think that councillors would recognise that and support the motion. Thank you.
All in favour of the motion? Is noted?
It directs management to cease politically. Correct. Yeah. No. The last says the council is direct to stop using.
He wants us to direct the management.
I read it.
I know he didn't even read it. Cadogan wants us to ask that the council directs management to cease politically correct banalities like seasonal reception or Chris Kringle, Winterville or season's greeting, or happy holidays in council business and events for Christmas or involving Santa Claus, and bringing forward a Section 75 consultation on how we can properly recognise Christmas and all the traditional elements of this celebration.
Chair, point of information, I don't think it's been proved that actually happens. I mean, Sleeve Group DEA, for example, had an event before Christmas, council organised, and we had Santa Claus at it, and I didn't see any of the staff running around saying, "Hello, Superman." You know, it doesn't happen. You know, it's not been proved that it happens. We've noted the fact that some members of the council would like us to say Santa Claus more often. We're all happy to do that. But, I mean, let's not put somebody through a whole lot of work here. This is just ridiculous.
So who's for the motion and who's against the motion? Pardon?
Sure, just that we did put up Christmas trees around the district, didn't we? We didn't call them anything else, sure we didn't.
Okay.
All in favour
of the motion then?
If we vote for the motion, are we voting for the staff through some work? Are we asking for somebody to
No.
Against.
Abstentions. Four.
Okay.
The motion was lost. Okay, so. Another notice of motion for Councillor Enright. The council notes that many small community organisations do not have cash flow to fund large projects that have been agreed for grant aiding by council. Council's policy of releasing 50% of the grant to assist cash flow does not resolve the situation sufficiently for projects that involve several thousand pounds. Management are required to bring forward practical proposals to enable such projects to proceed without cash flow issues. This will be referred to committee. And if you're not on the... After being proposed and seconded here tonight. So would it like to be proposed?
Yeah, proposed.
Okay, and seconded?
Chair, I'll second it.
Okay. And Chair.
So, items. Pardon? Active and Healthy Committee. Okay, item 17.
Chair. Chair, just a point of order.
No, just a point of order. We're moving on.
It's relevant. I believe, Chair. And it's no disrespect to Councillor Enright, but I thought a councillor was only allowed one notice of motion per meeting.
No restrictions on that.
Well, they used to be in the old council.
I know, but unfortunately we're not in the old council, and that has now moved on. Okay? So, item 18, notice of motion received from Councillor Highland and Kevin McAteer.
Allow me to raise this important motion before Council tonight. Could I firstly just raise some important background information on the Tony Taylor case, which hopefully will be helpful for members as they study the motion. Tony Taylor is a Derryman, was released from prison in 2014 after having served 3 years in custody with a further four in licence. He's a member of the Republican Network for Unity, and he's contributed to local politics in Derry by peacefully raising benefits cuts, prison conditions and policing issues. He complied with the terms of his licence, including reporting his political activities to the Northern Ireland Probation Board. He was detained by police in Derry on October 17, 2015, and interviewed over 2 days at Musgrave Street Station about alleged Republican activity based on MI5 intelligence. He was unconditionally released pending a report to the Public Prosecution Service. On the 10th of March 2016, Tony, whilst out shopping with his wife and children, was arrested by the PSNI and returned to prison. The NIO said his licence was revoked by his parole commission because of the risk he posed to the public. Tony's solicitor, local man Aidan Carlin, has confirmed that this risk to the public was based on an MI5 assessment for which Tony was questioned and unconditionally released in October 2015. 3 weeks after Tony was returned to prison, the Secretary of State had to admit that her original order revoking his licence had been illegal. The recommendation to return Tony to prison has been made without even contacting the Probation Board. In July, the PPS concluded its examination of the file on his arrest and questioning in October 2015 and directed that Mr. Taylor would not face the prosecution. The NIO has publicly stated that it is for the Parole Commissioner to consider whether Tony Taylor should serve the remainder of his sentence in prison. However, his hearings before the Parole Commissioners are scheduled to be heard this May, which means that a period of 14 months will be passed between his recall on the 10th of March 2016 and a decision on whether or not he will be re-released on licence. Given the nature and extent of the Parole Commissioner's general powers, Tony Taylor's lawyers have submitted that the Parole Commissioners should recommend his immediate release rather than go through a very lengthy procedure until the spring of this year. However, they have thus so far refused all calls to recommend Tony Taylor's immediate release. Their refusal to consider is deemed unlawful by his lawyers and is contrary to Section 6 of the Human Rights Act 1998, read together with Articles 5.1 and 5.4 of ECHR. In particular, the period of 14 months in decision represents an unreasonable delay in the context of his rights to liberty. Moreover, there is simply no objective evidence that Tony Taylor has breached the conditions of his licence, hence no new charges that could lead to a fair trial and the proper testing of evidence in court. Tony Taylor's recall is interment in all but name. It is without justification and sets a very dangerous precedent for Republican ex-prisoners. His continuous imprisonment should be a matter of deep concern for all those with an interest in human rights. In conclusion, could I point out the fact that two other councils in the north of Ireland have recently passed motions condemning the continued imprisonment and internment of Tony Taylor. They are Derry and Strabane Local Council and Donegal County Council. I believe it's really important that our council should follow this lead and send out a clear message to local people, and especially to the discredited NIO, that the flawed imprisonment of Tony Taylor is both wrong and unjustifiable. Chair Megan.
Given the absence of your colleague, Kevin McAteer, have you got someone to second this motion?
Councillor Henry.
So, can Councillor Walker turn? Councillor Henry, can you confirm?
I'm not turning my light off.
Can you switch off your light and allow him to have his red light on? And Davy, can you switch yours off?
Yeah.
Okay, and yes, now Councillor Walker, you can, and then. Okay, we go there. Councillor Enright, do you second it?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, Madam Chairperson. Yes, I think it's a very worrying situation that we're still faced with these special powers that should have been done away with years ago with the peace process, and that we have a situation whereby we can have an unofficial policy of detention without trial that lasts for very long periods of time at the whim of the person who's not been voted for by the population of Northern Ireland, and really doesn't have the assent of the people of Northern Ireland to continue on post-peace process of pre-peace process laws like detention without trial without the assent of the people of Northern Ireland.
Okay, Gareth is in next, actually.
Okay,
Billy?
Billy, can you just wait? Gareth's
in next.
Yes, Gareth. Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. I can't support this motion, Madam Chair. I think this motion will not achieve anything, maybe apart from promoting the Republican credentials of those that are proposing the motion. I believe it's divisive, and I believe that there's an attempt to alienate unionist members in this council, Chair. I just feel that there is undercurrent here of a one-sided agenda again. And that is to legitimise terrorism and to exonerate those that were involved in terrorism. To me, it's a stark reminder of those that have committed some awful atrocities in this province that we have endured over 30-plus years. And most of those terrorists have not been repentant. They've shown no remorse, including Tony Taylor, I may add. For their evil deeds. Now, Chair, I'm on record, and just recently, I don't distinguish between Republican or Loyalist terrorists when it comes to this, and I'm on record, and if you read the papers, you'll see that. But Tony Taylor benefited from the early release under the Good Friday Agreement, which I believe was morally wrong anyway. And after having served just 4 of his 18 years, he was locked up again because, or locked up a short time after that because he reoffended. And so he demonstrated, I believe, to society that he wasn't a changed person. When did he stop being a threat to society? That's what I would like to ask the proposer of this motion. And when will he stop being a threat to society? So, for that reason, Chair, I can't support the motion.
Okay. Billy?
Chair, first and foremost, I don't think this motion should be in front of this council tonight. This individual is from the Londonderry area. So he is in that. And I thought motions was related to your own district. And it's wrong, and it's an emotion that would cause division within the chamber. And my colleague's right, Tony Taylor shouldn't be released. Obviously, the security forces knows what he's at, what he's up to. That's why his license was revoked, so it was. And let's be clear, we've had another one who is now back behind bars, is the terrorist who murdered prison officer Ismay, is now behind bars because he didn't keep to his bail conditions. We also have the gentleman who's up for murdering prison officer Black. You see the Today's newsletter. He hasn't been seen from November. So he hasn't. He hasn't been seen from November. He's absconded. And more likely, he's over the border. So he is. But I think this man, this council, first and foremost, should have not have been discussing this tonight. And secondly, that this man, if the security forces and intelligence states that he's a threat to society, he should remain behind bars until his trial, so he should. But this council shouldn't have been debating this tonight.
Councillor Taylor.
Chair, thank you. I would ask the same question as Councillor Walker as to why this motion has been brought before us tonight. Certainly understand orders. I can see no reason why we're discussing this. It has no relevance to the district. We have no authority to deal with the issue, so therefore I don't know why it was accepted as a notice of motion. And again, concerns have been raised about the activities of this gentleman. I have to say, going by his past record, the best place for him is prison, because he's, it leaves a lot to be desired, to be honest, with the activities that he has been involved in. And the security authorities certainly most definitely do have concerns about the way he's behaved, and that's the reason that he is there. But I would ask the question as to why it was accepted as a motion, because it is divisive and it does cause conflict within this chamber whenever motions like this are brought forward, because they do cause division. There's no way any unionist could support a motion of this nature. So I would ask the question as to why it has been accepted as a motion tonight, given on the basis of motions that they have to have relevance to the district, and again, we as a council have to have some authority over the issue that is discussed.
Andy?
Thank you, Chair. The issue of the state holding members of the civic society without charge or trial is indeed a serious one, and it's one that, you know, maybe sort of slightly contrary to what has been said, it's one that, you know, for those who hold liberal democracy as dear, it should cause us disquiet, and it's important that these issues are brought to them, to the council, you know, to reflect on the merit and reflect on its scope and reflect on its deployment. But I think there's an issue of context that needs to be remembered in relation to this. The term without charge or trial may have been forgotten. Mr. Taylor is not without charge or trial. He's been sentenced to an 18-year term for explosives. He was released under the terms of the Good Friday Agreement, the agreement which he has subsequently gone on to renounce by becoming associated with the anti-agreement Republican Network for Unity. He's also since gone on to serve a custodial sentence in 2014 following his arrest in 2011 in relation to firearms offences. For these, he served 3 years in custody and 4 years on licence. In March 2016, he had his licence revoked and was returned to custody where he currently remains. The Secretary of State has acted in accordance with the Criminal Justice NI Order, which grants the Secretary of State the power to recall a prisoner if indeed they feel it is expedient in public interest to do so. The law of the land is the law of the land, and despite how disagreeable it may be to fellow members of this council, any premature release or bail because of this motion will be based on a political body decision rather than a judicial one. Releasing Mr. Taylor would therefore be going against the due process. I can only emphasise with the distress that must have been caused to his wife, daughters and son, for which he is a carer, as well as the city of Derry community, which he has held in positive regard. However, I also have a greater empathy of those in our society who would rather see the gun for which he was most recently arrested turned into a ploy. Therefore, Alliance will be voting against this motion.
Okay. Gary?
Yeah, Chair, we would view this as a human rights issue and would be supporting the motion, Chair.
Michael?
Yeah, Sinn Féin Groupin will also support the call to release Derry man Tony Taylor immediately. The continued use of the unjust powers by the British government to revoke a person's licence without producing any evidence of wrongdoing is an affront to human rights and natural justice. Tony Taylor has been returned to prison without having been charged, questioned or allowed legal representation. If there is evidence to show that Tony Taylor is a risk to the public, it should be put before him and his legal team in open court so that it can be challenged. Natural justice has been denied to the man, and we as a party group will be supporting the motion.
Okay. David, would you like to sum up?
It's an interesting debate, and I'm glad the unionists at this time participated in it, because the last time they walked out for some strange reason. But, you know, you'd think, if listening to them, that everything was perfect here and that British justice was so good and so beneficial to especially Irish Republicans. You think of the Birmingham Six and the Guildford Four and the Maguire family and all countless other people who have suffered injustice because of a judicial system which was biased against them simply because they were Irish and deemed to be some sort of some people who threatened society as such. I take on board what people are saying, and I understand that it can be an emotional point, but it's also very emotional for the likes of Tony Taylor and his family. I mean, we've had a more recent case here in this council, and was the case of Stephen Murney, which was quite similar to Tony Taylor case, because he suffered 15 months imprisonment. Again, when it came to court, the judge threw it out within a matter of hours, because he was accused of having guns, which turned out to be a child's Uzi submachine gun, a child of 7 years old, and of having uniforms that were supposed to be paramilitary in origin, and turned out to be of a band, flute band, which he had previously belonged to. So for 15 months, he lost his rights to freedom and justice. And I didn't hear anybody from the unionist side of the community say, oh, that was wrong, or that Stephen Murney suffered an injustice, or had Stephen Murney been guilty of any crime as such. In fact, he'd been guilty of no crimes. But the bottom line is that there has to be evidence here. You need evidence before a court of law to convict someone. And you must produce that evidence and show that somebody was doing something wrong. To date, none of that evidence has been forthcoming. Not a single iota of it. And hence, he has remained in prison. And I am very proud, actually, to bring this motion before the council, because I feel that it needs to be highlighted. That people like Tony Taylor and like other people like the Birmingham Six and the Guildford Four would be quickly forgot about. And the key would be thrown away and left to rot in jail only if politicians and councillors didn't raise that matter. So thank you, Chair.
So all in favour of the motion?
Chair, I did ask a question about standing orders and I would like an answer to that.
Okay. Number 16, standing order. Motions. Every motion shall be relevant in some matter in relation to the council, has powers or duties, is not prevented from taking action on by other legislation which directly affects the local government district or its residents, and for which the council is legally competent. So. Resident. Well, at the end of the day, if this.
Valid question here. And haven't been given an answer to it, and we're going to take a vote on a motion that may not should have not have been accepted.
It's a human rights issue.
It's broader
than that. Okay. On the basis of that, I'm the chairperson of the council. I felt that under human rights issues, that we had a right to discuss this, and we have done this. Excuse me.
I can interpret
the standing orders. Yes, and I have interpreted to say that we should discuss this, and we have. So we're going to take a vote on it. That's okay, Councillor Walker. Thank you for your opinion. So we'll take a vote on it. For or against the motion?
For the motion,
please. All hands raised. Against? Any abstentions? The motion is carried. Thank you, everyone. Safe home.
Well, the issue was, we actually said it was, you know, the question is, the idea becomes, the idea becomes.